Well, good morning to you all, and welcome to Partick Trinity. If you don't know me, my name's Tim Sinclair, and it's my privilege to be the minister here. And as we start our time together, just a few things I want to draw our attention to and remind us of. We're all asked to keep face coverings on throughout the service, including when we're singing. And I suppose the tone and the change in the news cycle over the last few days will have us, I guess, more aware of how we keep our distance from one another, and particularly at the end of the service when everyone's trying to head out either this door or out the front door. We just ask you to take your time so that everyone feels safe and no one feels under pressure. And we've had a renewed encouragement to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do in terms of maintaining records for track and trace. So for us, that's generally meant booking in advance using Eventbrite, and I'd ask you to continue to do that for services as and when they happen. And we've also been asked, and this is in line with advice for social encounters and meetings in general, to encourage people when they come to church, come to a service, if you could plan to take a lateral flow test in advance of that, just so that everyone is keeping one another as safe as possible. And as we head towards Christmas, we usually, if we can, take time to make the church look Christmassy. We have a basement full of fairy lights and Christmas trees and other things. And if you're free, able and willing, you're invited to stay on at the end of today's service to help get the church building ready for Christmas. So there's an encouragement, if that's something you're able to do, Julie, who was welcoming you at the door, is coordinating that, and you're invited to stay on and lend a hand with that. Now, speaking of Christmas at Partick Trinity, now everything in a sense comes with a slight caveat or question mark. We have no idea what changing guidelines might mean in the coming days. But the plan at present is to have Sunday morning worship as usual next Sunday morning. Now this will be an all-age service where the children and young people who are usually in creche or blast will be with us in the sanctuary as we celebrate Christmas in all its fullness together on Sunday morning. Now the creche room will be available, so no one will be trapped, and thinking of those especially with very young children for whom it's very helpful to know there is an escape route if you need it, and the creche room will be open and available for you to be out there with your own children. And next Sunday evening we also plan to have a very simple carol service here in the church, and you already have the link to book a space for that. And so it won't be quite what we've done in the past, where we've had carols by candlelight, we've had 200 plus people rammed in here, we've had a choir filling the stage. It will be much more simple than that, but nonetheless a chance to come together and sing some of those carols that we love so much and hear the Christmas story once more. And then fast forwarding, this year we're planning not to have a service on Christmas Eve, but on Christmas Day we'll have an all-age service in the morning, and then on Boxing Day, which this year is a Sunday, we're going to offer something online. And that's really balancing the different needs, the desire to have something where we can be together in person, recognizing that being in person will not be possible for everyone, especially this year, especially in the light of the most recent news. And any or all of these things might change in the detail or in our intention, and we'll do our best to keep everyone on the same page and to keep in touch with the weekly news email and word of mouth and everything else. And just again, as a general encouragement, we do want to celebrate Christmas together. We want to have a sense of the joy that Christmas brings, and yet we also take seriously that desire to make it easy for one another, to feel safe as we do that, and to have a concern for one another's well-being in the midst of it all. And then lastly but not least, this morning we're going to be celebrating communion together. And that's significant whenever we do it, and it's particularly significant because we haven't done it since March of 2020, the last Sunday before we went into the first lockdown. And there's a real significance to that. And yet we aren't yet able to do it in the way that we usually did in the past and like to, as we would gather as a circle round the table and we'd have that real sense of looking one another in the eye as the people of God. We're doing things differently. You should have on your chair a curious little little pack, and if you look at it closely, you'll see at the top there's a piece you can peel back, and that gives you your piece of bread, a small wafer, and then there's a second layer that you peel back, and that opens up so that you can drink the non-alcoholic wine substitute. And we'll come to that part of the service later, and I'll say more about it. But really, the invitation is open to all who know and love Jesus to take communion and to join in fully in that part of the service. And yet, if that's not you, please feel no embarrassment about being here. You are welcome, and you can simply just leave it to one side. And of course, it's different, and it might be a bit footery for any of us, so please don't feel any embarrassment if you get a bit bamboozled by which bit opens where. We're all in the same boat, and I personally am thrilled that we can do this together this morning. So where are we? We're together. We want to meet with God. We want to worship him on this third Sunday of Advent. Let me read to you the opening and closing words of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not break. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Please stand as we worship God together, singing the race that long in darkness pined. Let us pray. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God our Father, we come before you with our fears. We come before you with disappointment over backward steps and plans that suddenly seem more complicated. We come to you with questions and conflicts about what might be best for now or for then, best for us or best for them. We come with heaviness that we feel in the pit of our stomachs, too many what ifs, fears for ourselves, our families, our friends, our neighbours, wondering what the right thing to do. And we come together before you with a fresh recognition of what is most precious, of how good it is to be able to come together before you and to sing and to celebrate your goodness and your grace. We come before you not as people who have it all together. No, we come to you, and we do come to you because in Christ you have drawn us to yourself, and that he holds us firmly, knowing that we need that, as all the familiar handholds seem like they're slipping out of reach. We thank you for the promise of Advent, for the reminder that in the darkness you meet us and bring us into the light. And we stand before you feeling frustrated or worried or afraid. You're not embarrassed by our weakness. You're not embarrassed by our temptations or our grief. You know us fully and you love us. And it is by your mercy and your grace that you bring us into your presence. And in your presence, we ask you for all that we need and all that we long for. We ask for daily bread. We ask for what we need to sustain us in faith and in love and in hope. And before you, we call to mind and pray for those who we know right now will be feeling isolated and alone. Those who we feel are especially vulnerable. Those who are anxious about anticipated disruption and about the uncertainties for their finances, for their medical treatment, for their employment, their education, or the future. We remember those who continue to do invaluable work in our NHS and the other caring professions. Those for whom it has been an exhausting week at the end of an exhausting year with very little let up. We ask that you would be their strength as they negotiate one shift and then another shift, as they speak to one patient and then another. Help each one of us to be faithful. Help us to trust in your faithfulness. Help us to pray and to persevere in prayer. And all the while, remind us of your promises. Help us to look beyond ourselves and to love our neighbour, even as we remember your love for us, as you meet us in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we're now going to read from the Bible, and a very short reading that comes towards the end of the New Testament. And if you have a Bible, you may wish to follow along, and the words will also appear up on the screen. So recently we looked at the second and third letters of John, and we're now going to look at the very opening words of the longer letter that's called 1 John. So 1 John chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would bless us through this reading of your word, that all the things that we brought with us to this service, all the questions and worries, all the felt needs, all that we look forward to and anticipate, might not get in the way of what you might have to say to us now. And so we ask that you would speak, and that we would be ready to hear and respond, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So it's getting closer all the time. So it seems as good a time as any to ask, what would you like for Christmas? Now, there's certainly a point in my life where I could have answered that question immediately and very specifically, simply by opening the Lego catalogue and pointing to the right pirate ship. But my answer now, and my answer this year, is a bit more difficult and demanding, I suppose. No help to know this if you've got me in our family secret Santa. Like lots of people, I suppose what I would like for Christmas is a COVID-free, fear-free Christmas with no more self-isolation, no more PCR tests, no more lateral flow, no more face coverings, no more social distancing. I don't really care how it's wrapped up or presented, but that is what I would love for this Christmas. Because the news we're hearing this Christmas, it seems to me, as I scroll on my phone, as I turn on the TV, is bad news or worse news. A tsunami of disappointment and anxiety, frustration and worry. That sounds familiar. You're digesting the same headlines as me. And yet, of course, at the heart of Christmas, we go to that extraordinary scene with the shepherds tending their flocks, who were told, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." We crave a bit of that, don't we? Good news, great joy. And we try hard to remind ourselves that Christmas is not about what we want and is not, in a sense, limited by what we may or may not be advised, permitted, or able to do. Christmas, we're invited to pause and wonder at the announcement about what God has done, about something that has happened, something that no government could legislate, no scientist could innovate, no artist could imagine. At Christmas, we pause to acknowledge in awe and amazement that God has given his Son to be God with us, that God has spoken a word of life to a dying world, has spoken a word of friendship when there are, and there always have been, no shortage of things to keep us apart, has spoken a word of great joy, even when there are many things that leave us afraid. I think you'd have to have your head in the sand or go completely off grid to avoid the bad news. But there is good news. Good news that is no less real than all the sobering statistics and grim-shaped graphs. And I wonder if we feel we even have the nerve to speak of good news in such anxious times. That short reading, it all begins with a kind of breathless sentence, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, which our hands have touched, this we proclaim, concerning the word of life. This comes at the very beginning of quite a long letter. They have plenty to say, but before they say anything else, John wants to remind them of their starting point, that something has happened. It's not something that they hope for, something that they are planning for, or something that they have dreamed up. What they proclaim is an actual happening, grounded in concrete experience with a person, a particular person. And this is the scandal of the incarnation, the scandal of the Christmas story, that in a particular place and time, a person with fingerprints and a heartbeat and tear ducts, with a hometown, was truly God with us. A person who spoke and people listened, teaching, questioning, consoling. A person who opened themselves up to scrutiny at close quarters before friends and critics and curious passers-by. A person who took time to share food and to tell stories. A person who suffered. A person who didn't keep themselves out of touching distance. Instead, they reached out, they touched the eyes of the blind. They touched the leper. They washed the dirt from their friend's feet. They allowed themselves to be kissed by their betrayer. And touching on greater mystery still, even after they had been hung on a cross to die, even after their body was placed in a tomb, this person met with friends who touched his scarred body, who shared a meal of fish and bread by the shores. Something has happened. There has been a life like no other, a death like no other, and it doesn't stop there. And our testimony is that this is good news. You know, from the very beginning, the church has said to those who will listen, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. This is the message of the church in Advent and in Christmas and at Easter and at every other time of the year. The message of the church, whether we're at war or in peace, or whether we're pre-pandemic, mid-pandemic, post-pandemic, we are always pointing to this life, this actual person, not a possibility, not a dream, not an idea, but a person in whom we see God make the move towards us, from whom we see God inviting us into a relationship. And with him, we find ourselves brought into a relationship that we see pictured here as we look around ourselves, into a relationship with one another. Through him, we find life together forever. And John wants to remind the church of all of this, the building blocks. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. All those senses, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's something about that that is beautiful and intriguing, but perhaps we pause and wonder what it really means for us as John speaks of this fellowship with God the Father and fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and fellowship with one another. Well, at the very least, it means relationship, real relationship. We're talking about more than an association. We're talking about a oneness, a togetherness, a deep bond where we're invested in the same thing. We're talking about spiritual friendship. We're talking about communion with God and with one another. And actually what we do together this morning as we share bread and wine is in a sense the most dramatic, the most vivid demonstration of what that means and looks like. We're invited to eat and drink together. There's no top table. There's no inner circle. We find that we're all in one fellowship, one family, on the same terms. And actually, for once, your background or your health or your cleverness or your money are no advantage or disadvantage here. We're called and invited simply because Jesus invites us. And there is something to be included in it all because he provides himself all that is needed. As we eat and as we drink together, we rehearse what was once seen and was once heard in an upper room. And we proclaim to one another what was proclaimed back then, as Jesus, this extraordinary life from the Father, sitting in this unremarkable room with his friends, would speak of his body broken and his blood poured out. And they heard all the words and they didn't understand. In fact, they almost read them from the very opposite of what they were. These were words of life, words to savor, remember, and share. And yet they felt afraid. Just as the bread was broken so that they might eat and share that meal that night, Jesus would die so that they might live. Just as the wine was poured out, Jesus' life, his blood, would be poured out so that they might share together in a new covenant, that they might be totally secure in knowing that they are God's people, known, forgiven, loved. They sat there in that room. They saw him. They heard him. They held the bread in their hands. They tasted the wine in their mouths. And they were invited to remember all that they had experienced, to repeat it, to proclaim it, and to see in that the Father has given the Son, and the Son gives himself, and that as we receive from him, we are brought into something that is bigger than ourselves. We are drawn into a family, into communion with one another. You know, in that upper room, Jesus was proclaiming something. He was saying, something is happening. And our proclamation this morning and every Sunday is that something has happened, that the life appeared, the life which was with the Father, was and is also with us. The life that was seen and heard and touched is now proclaimed. The life that brings us into that renewed, restored relationship where we can call God Father, we can call upon his name and know we won't be turned away. That calls us into this relationship with one another, this life together. But as we share together all the things that make us anxious, there is nonetheless that surprising joy. The angel spoke of good news, of great joy. A child has been born. The life has appeared. Do we hear it? Do we trust it? Dare we still share it? And the trending headlines are all grim news of great disappointment. Now, we can't avoid the news cycle. We can't help but fear being kept apart. We can't help but bristle at frustrating plans. And we rightly have compassion for those who are struggling with illness, and we fear it for ourselves and those that we love. In Advent, we're reminded that we actually have a better story to tell. That there is a word of life, not only of death. And it's as we come to share together, as we take the bread and the wine, that we find our place in that story. We find our place around the family table. We have a sense together of the joy that is ours in him. Let's pray. God our Father, the familiar words of all that Jesus did that night in the upper room, of the bread that was blessed and broken and given, of the wine poured out as a sign of your promise. We ask that we would not be too exhausted or jaded to hear and proclaim the good news that you hold out for us in Jesus Christ. That we would have open ears to that word of life. And as those around us are itching for good news to hear anything that represents progress and possibility, help us to be bold in sharing that good news that is of great joy in all circumstances for all people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we now come towards the time where we're going to share in bread and wine together. Now, I'm very grateful to Ailsa and Mary, who have handled the practical arrangements, and they're sitting at the back there. And if you find yourself hoping to take part in communion but not having to hand a set of the bread and wine, I think they have more available at the back. We'd be happy to bring that to you if you just wave your hand in the air or something like that while I'm speaking just for the next moment or two, and then we're going to sing once more. Now, I've said already that the last time we shared communion together here at Partick Trinity as a church family was back in March 2020, when everything looked and felt very different. I remember standing down here and announcing that we would have reflect as usual on the Tuesday, except we wouldn't be serving dessert. And things changed very, very quickly. And yet some things remain the same. I actually looked back at my notes from that Sunday and the words that I said as we came to share communion together. And in a sense, those words hold true today amid so many things that have changed. As I spoke about faith, saying this, faith is not a matter of what I do or what I am. It is not at the heart of it me striving to be something. In faith, we look beyond ourselves, acknowledging and resting in something other than ourselves, in the provision of God. Faith lets God be God, lets God do God's work. And when we come together to share bread and wine as we do today, it is an act of faith. By faith, we hear God's word in the scripture, the word of life, announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. By faith, we look to God who has forgiven our sins. By faith and with open hands, we take the tokens of God's loving promises. We don't need to justify ourselves. We don't need to have all the answers. We don't need to feel the right emotions. We don't need to make the great grandstanding commitments. We don't need to provide anything, which is the same as saying that what we do need is faith, resting in who God is and what God does. We come to this meal at the invitation of Jesus Christ. And so now, as we come to celebrate communion together, we're going to sing together once more a hymn that we've so often sung around the Lord's table, "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away." Let's stand as we ready ourselves to take bread and wine together.
Thank you.
Hear the word of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As the Lord Jesus, that same night he was betrayed, took bread, I take this bread and wine to be set apart for this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord our God, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving as we remember and hold on to all that you have done for us and all that you freely give to us. And all that it cost. We thank you this morning for the freedom we have to come together and for the possibility even of joining from a distance and from home. We thank you for the gift of this family and that we find our own place within it. We thank you for the knowledge of your favor towards us, demonstrated by your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of Life, our Savior. We give you thanks for those who proclaim the Word of Life to us, some in this room, some in other places, others who are now with you, safe and secure in glory forever. We thank you for their faithful testimony about what it means to know Jesus and to be found in him. And so now we ask that you would draw us closer to one another, as together as one family we draw close to you, as one people with one Saviour, one Spirit, one Lord. And as we now pray together with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so, according to the holy institution, example and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this, who on the night he was betrayed took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after they'd eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." And so we're invited to draw near with faith, to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, and his blood that was shed for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith, and with thanksgiving. So now, you have already been served. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ that is broken for you. Do this remembering him. And with the cup in your hand, remember that this cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Amid all the things that might unsettle or confuse us, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we hear the psalmist say, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." We ask that all that we have shared together this morning and all that it reminds us of and points us to might be the source of our strength. That you would take our hearts and fill them with a fresh apprehension of all that you have done for us and your love for us. Help us to wait with patience when things seem too slow, and to know that you are with us each step of the way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As our service comes to a close, we're going to sing together perhaps the greatest and best loved Advent song, a song of great longing, a song of waiting, a song of anticipation. O come, Emmanuel, stand and sing, and then remain standing for the benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has shown us such love and in his grace has given us such unfailing encouragement and so sure a hope, still encourage and strengthen you as we wait for him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you. Amen.